Now we're going to read the Word of God together, so I'm going to get you, all right, to stand one more time. I'm so sorry, all right? Would you stand with me one more time? And we're going to hold up our Bible, as I always do when I preach the Word of God. So whether you have a hard copy Bible or soft copy Bible, still a Bible, all right? Hold it up, and then you declare after me, this is my Bible. You know how to do that? All right, I've done this so many times, you probably know it by heart right now. Ready? One, two, go. This? It is? The Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. So we're going to read from the Word of God on the screen so that we all follow the same version. And from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 to 11. So let's declare the Word of God. Declare means you say it so loud, all right? Recite it so loud that people from outside can hear you. Do you think you can do that? All right, good. Let's do it together. Ready? One, two, go. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters. I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another, the interpretation of tongues. And all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. Before you are seated, can you turn to someone and say, listen. All right, can you do that? Last weekend, I preached about we all can prophesy. And it was so good that in a cell group that I'm with, that they're all young adults. Right? They were, you know, at the end, the cell leader turned, you know, to the cell group and said, now pair up with one another and prophesy over each other. You know, I could see some concern in some of their faces because they probably have never really done that before. I know, you know, four or five of them have done it regularly. But the new ones, you know, sort of, you know, obey the cell leader, turn to one another and started prophesying over each other. And it was amazing. I was grouped in a group of three because there was an odd number of guys. And so I was grouped in a group of three and the word given to me. I think that person who was giving that word to me must be quite concerned, you know, giving word to the senior pastor. But whatever he said to me, I said, I affirm that. It was exactly the word that I need to encourage me. And he was so encouraged as a result of that. And I believe that there are some other cell groups that are doing the same. So I want you to do this regularly because the Bible tells us that we all, whenever we get together, we prophesy over one another. And that's amazing. So we are in a series called Listen. Everybody say, listen. In the sermon number one, I say we all can hear the voice of God. And I reminded all of us that there's no shortcut to hearing the voice of God except to spend time with Him every day. You know, I give you an illustration of a rocking chair. This person sat the rocking chair, you know, for many, many days in his life, and he learned how to listen to the voice of God. So you need to go to your rocking chair every day to learn how to listen to the voice of God through our quiet time, through our devotion. And then on the second sermon, we talk about how we all can be spiritually alive and revived. And I mentioned to you that we need to invite the Holy Spirit, you know, every day of our lives to be filled with the Spirit constantly. And last weekend, I talked about we all can prophesy. And it's an amazing gift God has given to us. Let's not shortchange ourselves by not practicing this, because prophecy is meant for everyone. And this morning is a really exciting subject because we all can build up the church with the spiritual gifts God has given to me. So are you ready to listen to what the Holy Spirit has to say? I hope so, right? That we all come ready to anticipate what the Holy Spirit will do. And, you know, how many of us here, you know, in 1 year's time, in 5 years' time, in 10 years' time, how many of you want to be a better person? How many of you here? I hope all hands are, right? No? None of us want to be a worse off person. Whether from 1 year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we all need to be a better person. Why? Because that is what God desires for us. That as we enter into relationship with God, Holy Spirit come into our lives and begin to what I call it a cleaning up job and a renovation job in our lives. So that at the end of the day, 1 year from now, 5 years from now, or even 10 years from now, we are a different person altogether. And by the way, let me tell you this. There's no such thing called a self-made man or self-help man. No one can be a self-made man simply because, all right, everyone who is called himself a self-made man has someone helping him to be that kind of man, right? So there's no such thing as a self-made man. That's to me, basically pride, right? There's no nothing called a self-help. Of course, you can help yourself up to a certain point, but you need a community of people around you. And in this church here, we say it takes a village to grow a child. Remember I said that? In other words, you know, our children, you know, when within our own family, they will only grow up to a certain extent. But when we have the community of God involved in our parenting, all right, it will really help them grow to be the kind of man or woman in the days to come. And so, you know, it is something that we must be aware that we need to be built up. And the way to be built up, the Bible tells us, is that we need one another to build us up. All right, that's called God uses spiritual gifts to help us in our lives. And the letter of 1 Corinthians was a letter written to the local church in Corinth. And there were a number of problems that Apostle Paul wants to address. And one of the many problems that he was addressing is the problems of spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts itself is not the problem. It's the use of it that became a problem. Because the Corinthian Christians were using it for their own self-glory. In other words, they were showing off. To say that, wow, I got this gift, you got that gift, all right? And they were showing up for their own self-glory and for their own self-satisfaction. And so Apostle Paul wrote in to say, don't do that. And our spiritual gifts are always meant to build up someone else in the church, to build up one another. If you look at the list of spiritual gifts given in the Bible, there's really, in some sense, only one gift that is used to build yourself up. That means you personally use it to build yourself. And what is that gift? All right? The gift of tongues. The gift of spiritual tongues, private tongues, not public tongue, private tongues. All right? The one that you use to pray. All right? The one that you use to speak. All right? In the tongue for your own self-edification, your own self-strengthening. But the other, you know, gifts listed in the Bible, they are all for building up the body of Christ. And that is why, you know, I find that, you know, as a pastor for many years now, I realize that there are many, many Christians, all right, although they've been Christian for many, many years, they still remain as very weak Christians. They're so weak in their Christian life that when the things of the world comes around them, they get, you know, swayed by these things. I'm wondering in my mind, why are they so weak in their Christian life? And it's simply this. The reason why is because they are not built up. They have not experienced the building up that they need in the body of Jesus Christ. So God has given us all these gifts, spiritual gifts, to build us up. So I pray you listen to me very carefully and listen to the Holy Spirit, what He has to say to you about building up your life. And so here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 1, it says, now why don't we read this aloud together? This is an important verse here. Ready? 1, 2, go. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be what? Uninformed. Right? Brothers and sisters, meaning talking about you, everyone here, male and female, brothers, sisters, young and old, I do not want you to be what? Uninformed. All right, the earlier version of NIV says, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, what does ignorant mean? Ignorant means that it's there, but you don't know it's there. Uninformed means you didn't know that it exists. So in other words, there are people in the Church of Jesus Christ today, all right, they are uninformed about gift, the spiritual gifts of God. Now, I don't know where you stand today. Are you aware that there are spiritual gifts given to you? Are you aware? Now, you may be aware. I tell you what, you may not even know how to use the spiritual gifts God has given to you, and that is being ignorant. That's being uninformed. So I pray by the end of this sermon this morning, you will realize that God has given you a powerhouse. God has given you something so incredible that God can use you to build other people up around you. So no longer, I pray by the end of this sermon here, that you are the kind of people who only take from other people and never gives to other people. All right? And this is the design of God in the Church of Jesus Christ, that we all become giver. We want to learn to give, not by our own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter Wagner, a well-known writer and a teacher, and he said the chief cause of retarded church growth is because the people of God have not learned how to use spiritual gifts. And I fully agree with him on that. And the reason why DUMC, and I pray it will not, DUMC will be weak if we do not know how to use the spiritual gifts God has given to us. And Peter Wagner defines spiritual gift this way. A spiritual gift is a special attribute given by the Holy Spirit to every member of the body of Christ according to God's grace for use within the context of the body. Wow, I thought that's a great definition. It may take you a while and take your notes back, all right, and read it and try to study that. It says that spiritual gifts are the management of God's grace in its various forms to meet the needs of others with a view to their spiritual growth. So I thought these are two great definitions for me to start with, so that you can have something that will help you in processing this. Now, one of the best things in my own life as a Christian is this, that once I become a Christian, I realize that God has given us a Holy Spirit, right? I hope all of us recognize that. We are never alone in our Christian life. God gave us the Holy Spirit so that He dwells in us, right? So we all are a powerhouse. I hope you realize that. All of us have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And the Greek word for Holy Spirit is parakletos. Para means come alongside. Kletos means that I walk with you and I talk to you, right? It's just a communion with you. So the word parakletos, Holy Spirit, simply means someone who come alongside you and walk with you. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that an amazing truth? That the Holy Spirit is given to us and that we will never be alone in our lives. It's so great, to commission the three missionaries for John, Joyce, and Catherine. It's so great to know that they are not going out alone. They're not going out there to try to figure things out, how to do mission in Laos and Nepal. I am so glad the senior pastor, I said, John, Joyce, and Catherine, please go with the Holy Spirit. By the way, he has already gone before you, He's already there, setting the place for them. And by the time they arrive in Nepal and Laos, God has done the work. Right? All they need to do is walk in and reap what God has done. And that's amazing. And so in that sense, the Holy Spirit is given to us so that, we can walk with confidence in God. But yet, what I discover? So many Christians, and I pray it's not DUMC, right? But I pray that Christians will discover the powerhouse in us, something that God has given to us that we need to learn to tap on, all right? So don't leave this, from this celebration here without knowing. Don't be uninformed or ignorant, as the scriptures say. Now, I may not be able to spend this time telling you everything about spiritual gifts, but tell you what, in this church here, we have trainings for you. So Ministry 202, for example, is moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's a great training. There's one upcoming, all right? So please check it out in our website. One upcoming one to tell you everything about how then do you move in the power of the Holy Spirit. What are some of these Holy Spirit? So that we can learn together how to operate in that. It's something that you can learn. So we're not going to leave you dry trying to figure this out. We even have a training program to teach you how to move in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, last weekend, I reminded you about 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. All right? I asked all of us here, how many of us want to follow the way of love? Meaning 1 Corinthians 13 talk about that love is patient, love is kind. It describes to you that the foundation of spiritual gifts is that we learn to love. We learn to love people first. It is not meant to use for our own self-glory. Right? It is meant to be used in the context of that because we love people. We want to see people grow in God. So follow the way of love. And I ask you the same question I'm going to ask you today. Do you eagerly desire spiritual gifts? Do you eagerly? Eagerly means you found out about this Hokkien Mee in this particular store somewhere in Petaling Jaya. And people have told you how great that Hokkien Mee is. And you've been talking for days now. I must get a group of people to go. If no one comes with me, I'm going to go myself. Now that's called eagerly desire. Now how many of us eagerly desire spiritual gifts? I wonder, do we even ask God for spiritual gifts? Do we even ask Him? Right? Do we say, God, I want this? How many of us, when we go to the hospital, how many of you have done hospital visitation before? Have you done hospital visitation? Many hands are up. So when you go to a hospital, what spiritual gift do you ask? Healing, of course. The reason why people are in the hospital is because they are sick. So when you go to a hospital, on the way you're driving there, I think it's a great prayer to say, God, will you give me the spiritual gift of healing? All right? And I'll tell you later on why it's possible to ask God for that. The other gift that you must ask God for when you go to the hospital is that, God, give me the gift of encouragement. Because obviously that person is miserable on the bed, right? So you need to go there to encourage him and to pray for healing. So these are two definite gifts you can ask God for as you drive to the hospital. And so in that sense, do you eagerly desire spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit? You must desire it because God is not going to force it on you unless you ask Him, especially prophecy. Especially that. So that when you walk into the hospital, you know, and visit the patient, your friend, there's a word from God, a word of prophecy for this person. They say, God is with you, God is saying this to you. That'll be amazing for that person you're visiting. And so the big idea is this, and the big idea is actually the title of this sermon here, We All Can Build the Church. All of us have been given this privilege, all right, to build the Church of Jesus Christ. There are three things I want to say to you about, you know, spiritual gift. The first thing is this, that, you know, it is free. Isn't that amazing? It is free. How many of you love free stuff? Free things, all right? I know you do. Even your hand is not up. I know you love free things, huh? Because you will line up even for hours just to get that one cup of coffee, you know, right? Because somehow we all love free things. Free, you know, given to me free. Why don't I take it? Right, and especially when government want to do a handout, you definitely line up, man. Because that's my money. Right, and so in that sense, it is important to realize that, you know, the spiritual gifts given to us are free. Now, Pastor, what do you mean by it's free? Right, let me explain that to you. You know, the word charis, all right, charisma is actually, you know, the word for, all right, spiritual gifts. And so, charis actually means grace. We are all familiar with that, right? Charis, grace. So if your daughter is called charis, that's called grace. And the word ma, charisma, right, ma actually means gift. So in that some sense, it is grace gift, right? So if your surname is Ma, all right, like Mr. and Mrs. Ma, if you have called Catherine charis, then she's called charisma. Right? But she's Catherine Ma, all right? So if you charisma is actually a double emphasis of what's free, grace and gift. Gift is always free, right? Right. When you give a gift to somebody, it's always because you want to give something to a person, never asking for something in return. Grace is something that God gives to us. You know, the big theological phrase is unmerited favor. Wow, it makes me sound very intelligent already. Unmerited favor, meaning that we don't deserve it. But God gives it to us anyway. We don't deserve it. And so grace gave a double emphasis. God is trying to say to us, it's really, really, really free. Nothing you can do to earn that spiritual gifts. So none of you here, hear me carefully here, none of you here should ever even say that. I don't think I'm good enough for God to give me spiritual gifts. Pastor, you don't know, I've never not been doing my quiet time, so I don't think I deserve it. Right? Oh, you don't know what I'm doing. I don't deserve it. It doesn't work that way. Because God is so concerned for somebody in the body of Christ that sometimes, even while you are still struggling in your Christian life, God can still use you. You know? Right? But please, by all means, grow in your Christian life. But because it's free, it's grace gift, totally free, God will give it to us. It's interestingly, in Acts chapter 8, you know, of this man called Simon, he's a sorcerer. He just came, you know, to know Jesus. And I think in some sense, he prayed to accept Jesus into his heart. But he's still very carnal in his ways. And here's what the Bible says. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, I think Simon has Chinese blood. Everything can buy one, right? And so here he says, he offered them money and said, give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit. So he saw these things going on. The apostles were laying hands on people. They received the Holy Spirit. It was a visible sign of the power of the Holy Spirit on their lives. And so Simon saw it, being Chinese, you know. He walked over there and said, "Can I buy this?" All right. And what did the apostle say to Simon? Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God." So he was severely rebuked that you cannot buy it with money. It is given free to you. Everyone say, "It is free." Then your neighbor is really free, you know. Right? See, what's the problem here if we say it is really, really free? No, in fact, the word grace, I like this definition. Grace means God's riches at Christ's expenses. Right? At Christ's expense, rather. You know, grace is something that we don't deserve, but God gives us through a high price that God paid by sending His Son to die on the cross. Now, let me give you an illustration. See, I have an iPhone here. Now, if I want to give you this iPhone, which I'm not suggesting I'm going to give it to you, right? But let's say I want to give you this iPhone. And I say, all right, you know, I want to give this to you, Adrian. I want to give this to you, right? Okay? Now, I'm not suggesting that I'm giving it to you. I'm just saying illustration, all right? Don't come and claim it from me later, all right? So, Adrian, I'm going to give you this phone to you, all right? When does this phone become Adrian's? It's still in my hand. I say, "Adrian, I really want to give this to you." So when does it become his? When he takes it. You see, this is not a trick question. He said, "I want to give you something. It's free. But unless you take it, it can never be yours." So here God is saying to you that the power of God is free. The spiritual gifts are free. So when does it become yours? You take it. See, God is offering it in His hand right now to you. It's really free, you know, right? So all you need to do is to ask and take. And this is where I think so many of us are so uninformed, so ignorant of the fact that when we do ministry, we forgot sometimes to even ask the Holy Spirit, "Please give me this spiritual gift," all right? Or, "Lord, just whatever that I need right now, Lord, give it to me so that I can minister powerfully." So when you go to cell group, as you drive there, do you even ask God for that? Right? So it's important to recognize that it is really, really free. In fact, here the Bible says that, you know, not only, you know, now when you receive a gift, it implies that there's a giver, right? Right? Every gift has a giver. And so here in this passage here, it says that, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Now, I want you to recognize this. Right, the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, distributes. You see, the gifts don't belong to you, by the way. It belongs to no one. It belongs to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit distributes. So it's up to Him. He's God. So He can distribute to anyone that He wants to distribute to, with the kinds of gift that He wants to give. So the different kinds of gift, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, is the same God at work. I want you to notice the words in yellow, right? The Spirit, the Lord, and God. Do you know here in these three verses, Apostle Paul is painting God the Trinity? That the power of God comes from the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you need to recognize that God is behind all this. He wants to give you something that He has paid a high price for. You know, there are different kinds of working. Interestingly, that word working, right, comes from a word that actually, the Greek word is energema, or energy. That's where the word energy is derived from. There are different kinds of working. There are different kinds of energy. In other words, if we were to sum this up, it simply says that when you plug a spiritual gift into a ministry, just as our three missionaries, as they go to the mission field, they plug in the spiritual gifts, all right? What happened? You get powerful results. That's the only way you can get powerful results, when the Holy Spirit is directly involved in it. So this is the part where you may be uninformed. You may be uninformed that I need to do something in order for God to give it to me. I need to be good enough in order for God to give it to me. I need to be a leader, a pastor, you know, and all that before God gives it to me. You know, there's no condition type except the condition of being a child of God, because it is free. God has given that to us, right? So not only it is free, all right, the other thing you need to know, second thing you need to know is that it is for what? All. It is for everyone. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, now to how many people? Each one, all right? Each one, everyone here, each one. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. 1 Corinthians 14:3, remember last week we talked about prophecy? For you can what? All prophesy. This is just the gift of prophecy, out of the many gifts there, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The key words or key phrase are each one and all. Each one and all. Everyone. No one is left out. Every one of you here. Right? This maybe something you're ignorant about. But everyone, you're seated there on your chair right now. You are included, everyone. In fact, later on in the passage, Apostle Paul talks about that we are all part of the body of Christ. Now here he says, but in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. In other words, God has already designed you to be part of this body of Christ. Some of you, in Apostle Paul wrote that in the later part of 1 Corinthians 12, he says, some of you are the eyes, some of you are the ears, some of you are the hands, some of you are the foot. And just because, you know, the ears say, I'm not an eye, therefore I cannot be part of the body, is it not true? Because you are an ear, you're part of the body. Because you're an eye, you're part of the body. Because you're a hand, you're part of the body. So you are all part of this body of Christ, and every part has a function. If one part don't function, like the eye, if it doesn't function, you're in trouble. If your ear don't function, you're in trouble. When one part suffer, the whole body suffer. You recognize this? So if God has given you a function, and you are not exercising that function, the whole body of DUMC suffers because you are not functioning. Even the least of the smallest of parts, God says they are the one who is treated more with honor, the least of the body parts. And so it's a reminder to all of us here that we are all important in the body of Christ. Can you turn to your neighbor right now and say, you are very important in the body of Christ? Affirm each other in that. You are really, really important. If you don't function in the spiritual gift God has given to you, right, the whole body is shortchanged. Right? So don't be what I call a church kangaroo. You know what a church kangaroo is? You hop from place to place to place, never settling in to discover what the function is for the body of Christ. You just hop from church to church. Why? Because you're only thinking about yourself. You're only thinking about what I can get out of going to church. You forgot that part about that God has put me in the body to function in a certain way through the spiritual gifts given to me so that I, together with the other parts of the body, to build up this body of the UMC. You understand this part here? Every person is so very important. You know what's the problem in church today? The problem in church today is that we are like a football match. Now, what do I mean by football match? 22 people on the field, badly needing rest, you know. And 10,000 people in the stadium, badly needing exercise. Let me repeat that. Because often church is like that, and I pray DUMC is not like that. 22 people on the field, doing all the work, and they badly need rest. And then 10,000 people surrounding the 22 people and say, yeah, you know. And they badly need exercise. They badly need to exercise spiritual gifts with the spiritual gifts God has given to them. Don't leave these 22 people to exercise. You need to exercise. And I pray DUMC will never be a football match. Right? It'll be something that will be an army. Everyone involved in the work. So each one of you is an important part. Again, you know, here the Bible says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part. And so interestingly, God has given you a buffet of spiritual gifts. God has given to every person. Some of us may carry one, maybe carry two, maybe carry a few. All right? But the Holy Spirit distributes it as He likes. He's the best person to know what spiritual gift is needed for that point in time for the body of Christ. He's the person who knows it precisely. So he said, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, the teachers, the miracles, gifts of healings, of helping, of guidance, of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Now, let me clarify this, that because last weekend I just told you, everybody prophesied. Now, I didn't say that you carry an office of a prophet. All right? I say you ask God for the gift of prophecy that everyone can prophesy. But there are some people who are called to the office of a prophet. If it helps you, it's almost like, you know, prophet with the big P and a small P. All right? The big P is the prophet with the office. Okay? This is not from the Bible, but I'm just trying to help you understand this, all right? The big P with the prophet and the small P. All of you are small P prophets. Right? But there are people who are called to be prophets with the big P. Right? The reason why here in the Bible, right, that you cannot have a big capital is because there's no capital letters, right, in Greek in that sense. Are all teachers? No, but all of us are called to teach, by the way. All of us are called, but some of us have the gifting anointing of a teacher with a big T. Right? And then do all work miracles? All of us are supposed to pray for miracles, right? But there's some people endowed with the gift of miracles. Do you understand this part here? Right? And then do all speak in tongues? That this is a public tongue, not the private prayer tongue that you have. Everybody can speak in the prayer tongue, but not everybody are called to do public tongue. When you stand up on stage here or stand up in a cell group and speak in that public tongue so that someone else can interpret. You understand this part here? All right? So, now, verse 31. Again, Apostle Paul clarified that and he wants to emphasize that. Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Eagerly desire. And I pray this morning, God will put a new desire in you that you want more of the Holy Spirit. Now, so if you understand the capital and the small letter, right, then, you know, in the training, I talk about ministry 202. We teach this. We say there are two forms of spiritual gift. One is called the irregular form, and the other one is called the ministry form. The ministry form is an office of the gift that God has given to you. You have the, you know, office of a prophet, office of a teacher, right? But the irregular form means that God will give it to you as and when that you need it. You don't normally have it, but when you are exercising, when you are building the body of Christ, doing ministry, God gives it to you. All right? That's why when you drive to the hospital visiting that friend, you may not regularly pray for people and people get healed. But as and when God wants to use you, you can, as you drive to the hospital, say, God, please give me the gift of healing. God, please give me the gift of encouragement because that person needs it. Give me the gift of prophecy so that I can speak into his life. All right? You may not do this, you know, regularly all the time. It may not be the office that you carry, but every one of us is an irregular form. But some of you, I tell you what, the more you exercise the spiritual gifts God has given to you, the more certain gift will come upon you because God has gifted some of you here in the days to come to operate powerfully in the office, right, of many of the spiritual gifts God has given to us. You see, for example, for Catherine, Joyce, and John, one gift that they must ask when they go to the mission field, listen to me carefully here, right, is a gift of apostleship. Right? It's a gift of apostleship as they go, right? They can go into a new field no one has ever gone, but doing something that no one has ever done before. The gift of apostleship will accompany them. And I pray it will remain with them because they badly need that in the mission field. You understand this part here? All right? And they may carry that office of apostle. And we pray that God will do that for them. And that is why, and I want to encourage you, because it's for all, none of us here will just remain seated there. That is why coming to church like this every weekend only is not good enough for me. Because you're sitting in rows, is it? You're sitting in rows looking at the back of someone's head, right? All of you right now, can you look at the back of the head of that person? All right, got hair or not? White? No hair? I don't know. All right? Once in a while, if you get bored with me, you look at the hair of that person, right? Count how many hairs left. Right? And that's the only interaction with somebody in the group. That's the problem. That is why all of us here in DUMC, we encourage you, you must go to a cell group. Why? For your sake. Cell group is the only place, in some sense, unless you're serving in DUMC here in the celebration, you serve in usher, security, up on Resonate, right? You are leader of the church, then you are serving. But for many, people, worshippers who come to DUMC, if your only diet of serving, right, or is just to sit in rows like this week after week, no interaction with another group of people, do you know you shortchange yourself? You shortchange yourself because you cannot exercise your spiritual gifts. And spiritual gifts need to be exercised so that you become better and better at it. Right? That is why many of us never discovered the office of a particular, spiritual gifts God has given to you. I remember starting out, doing this spiritual inventory test. There's another training that we offer as well in UMC, in case you're not aware. All right, it's called, I can't remember the number ministry with a number, but it's called Finding Your Fit. Finding Your Fit, basically help you go through a spiritual gifts inventory, to help you say, oh, I got this one. This I operate regularly in this. And then you discover, hey, I think these are my primary gifts God has given to me. And I remember years ago when I did this, I had only about two primary gifts. I mean, it came up very strongly in my life. Only two. And then later on, years later as a pastor, and I did that test one more time. You know what I discovered? There's something like 8 or 9 primary gifts God has given to me. I can operate confidently in it. It's amazing God grows you in this area. Not because I'm any better than you, by the way. It's because I'm willing. Because I pray, God, give me spiritual gifts so that I can operate powerfully. Right? Later on, when some of you come up here for prayer, for healing, do you know what many of these ministry team members must pray for? Do you know what they ask for? God, give me the spiritual gifts of healing. This, I tell you, they pray desperately, Not only for you, for themselves, God, give me the spirit, the spiritual gift of healing. The other gift that they ask desperately for is, God, give me the spirit, a spiritual gift of prophecy. Because they have to pray for people, right? And the spiritual gift of encouragement. We can actively ask God for those gifts. And God will manifest it to us one way or another. So I want to encourage you, can you please, for your own sake, join a cell group? Because if you don't join a cell group, there's no opportunity for you to turn to someone and say, let's prophesy over one another. Maybe I should do this in church nowadays. Maybe I should ask all of you, to turn to one another and release a prophetic word for one another. All right, if I start doing that, I think many of you won't come back to church anymore. Because this pastor is putting pressure on me. Right? But in a cell group, it's a small group. All right, it is a safe environment for us to practice, right? There's no right or wrong. It's just going out in faith. So can I urge you one more time? Can you please join a cell group for your sake? Because I want every member in DUMC to be strong in the spiritual gifts. All right? Can you help me here by asking your neighbor, are you in a cell group? Can you ask them, are you in a cell group? If the answer is no, then you say, why don't you come to my cell group? All right? Or let me introduce you to a cell group for each other's sake, right? And if you do that, you have just practiced the spiritual gift of encouragement. You have just encouraged someone to grow in God. So not only is it free, it is for all. And one last thing is this, that it is used to build up. Everyone say build up. Build up for what? Right? Verse 7 says that it's built, we use spiritual gifts for the common good. We use it to build up the body of Christ. And that is why being in a cell group, we can sit in a circle, not in rows like this. We sit in a circle and ask ourselves as we go to cell group each time, how do I contribute, all right, to this cell group? Some things I did many years ago, being very new in the cell ministry, not many years, I remember God challenged me. All right, in the gift of prophecy. I was learning how to prophesy. And during my rocking chair time, my quiet time with God, I started writing down, all right, on my journal. All right, God would give me names of some cell members. I would write down their names, and I say, okay, God, what do you want to say to this person? So I actually write down what the Lord laid in my heart for this person. So by the time I get to cell group, on a Friday, all right, I will open up my journal, okay, and say, okay, as I pray, this in the last 1 week, this is what God says to a few of you here. So I will read out what God, said to them. All right? And I did it for many weeks. And then one time I decided to not do it so that cell members can begin to start doing it. You know, they started to utter to me during that time of prayer, no? So, you know, Chris, do you have a word for me? And I said, no. Why don't you ask someone else for the word for you? Can you imagine if a cell group begin to do that, what will happen? Everyone does it. On the way to cell group, we pray. We say, God, give me a spiritual gift. Can you please do that, cell members? Every week, when you go to cell group, ask God for a spiritual gift. God, how can you use me? If someone says, I'm not well in the cell group, wow, opportunity now to learn, all right, how to operate in the spiritual gift of healing. All right, if someone say something discouraging, all right, then you help that person along. You know, I remember reading about this, you know, this particular teacher. You know, he was trying to explain, you know, what, how these spiritual gifts work in a cell group. He said, I don't understand how this works in a cell group. And at that moment, somebody accidentally dropped a cup of coffee, you know, right? And it was spilled on the floor. And, you know, and then the cell leader noticed that every member responded differently to that spilled coffee, yeah, all right? The teacher, with the spiritual gift of teaching, all right, gave advice. Next time, if you put your cup on the coffee table, this one won't happen. That's the teacher, right? And then the administrator, the gift of administration, responded by organizing a cleanup committee. Okay, Bill, you go and get the mop. Sally, okay, get him a towel. Okay. And then Bill, who had the gift of service, hurriedly go and get the mop. Alright? And then Sally, who had the gift of helps, followed Bill and said, I'll help you. And then the person with the gift of encouragement said to the person who spilled the coffee, oh, we all make mistakes, so don't let it get you down, okay? That's a spiritual gift of encouragement. And then the person with the gift of mercy put his arm around the person who dropped the coffee and patted her on her shoulder and said, I feel so badly for you. Okay? That's a gift of mercy. And then the person with the gift of giving says, you know what he says? He exclaimed immediately, I'll buy a new set of coffee mug. And I thought that's a good illustration of spiritual gifts, isn't it? That all of us operate in the way God has designed us to operate. And cell group is a perfect environment to teach us how to operate in spiritual gifts. Now, I don't have time to go into this, but there's a list of spiritual gifts listing that I've given for you, all right? And in your notes, whether you can download it as well. You know, here it says that there are four passages in the Bible that gives you spiritual gifts listing, I call it. By the way, I'm of the conviction that this is not exhaustive. There's still a few more God can give to us. But these are what is listed in four passages. For example, in Romans chapter 12, there's prophecy, service, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership, mercy. And then 1 Corinthians 12. And then the other passage is Ephesians. And then various other passages. There are four passages that listed all together 25 spiritual gifts. 25. And two more are what we call postulated spiritual, meaning that they infer that these are two spiritual gifts. That is not listed as the word says, but we think this is a spiritual. So 25 plus another two, 27. So these are the buffet. The buffet of spiritual gifts God gives to us. So let me just give you an example here from that list there. Okay? Now, for example, in the gift of faith, the third on the second column of faith. Now, remember, all of us are called to have faith, right? You cannot say, oh, I don't have to give up faith, so I don't need to exercise faith. That's not true. All of us are called to have faith. But some people have that faith with a capital F. For example, I remember reading the story of George Mueller. And George Mueller, you know, years ago in England, he started, you know, to form orphanages, all right, he started orphanages for orphans. Because many, all right, were street kids, right, and during the Industrial Revolution. And so he started all these orphanages, and he doesn't have money. He doesn't believe in telling people that he needs money. And many times, as I read his autobiography, he would sit all the children around the table, okay? No food on the table, but they will give thanks for the food. So children, let's give thanks for the food, and the table is empty. And he gives thanks, God, thank you for this food. You know, we want to be thankful in our hearts for what you're about to provide. I remember reading one story, out of many stories of faith. And he said, Amen. The moment he said, Amen, okay, there was a bread truck that came along and broke down right in front of the home. And then because they knew that this was a serious mechanical problem and they didn't want the bread to go to waste, they knocked on the door of the orphanage. And he said, would you like to have this bread? And they have just given thanks for the food. And that's the story of George Mueller. Read about his story. He's an amazing man of faith. We can't even come close to that kind of level of faith. But that is a spiritual gift given to him. That kind of faith level. You know, and some of, you know, healings and miracles. You know, just last weekend, we heard about this miraculous healing in MBPJ Stadium. And, you know, the lame will walk, the blind see, and the deaf, you know, they will hear. And this person, all right, I don't really know much about him, but Maldonado, he obviously carried, Pastor Maldonado, he obviously carried the gift of healing. And I often read about Catherine Kuhlman. Some of you may have read about her books. Right? Everywhere she goes, people get healed. They carry an anointing of healing. And then another page here, for example, on the left column, it says evangelism. Now again, all right. Oh, I don't have the gift of evangelism, so I no need to evangelize. Wrong, okay? All of us are called to evangelize. But you know, some people carry the gift of evangelism. I do not need to mention you who in this church have the gift of evangelism, right? I don't need to tell you, right? Say, Pastor, I cannot be like that person. Everywhere he go, he share with people, people come to know the Lord. Okay? But that is an encouragement. He trains us. I'm talking about Pastor Daniel here, right? He trains us, encourage us, inspire us to evangelize. You understand this part? With the big E. He has a big E there. But all of us are called to evangelize. But some of you one day will have the big E behind your evangelism because God is going to call you and train you in that area, right? And then there's a gift of pastoring. Everyone is called to pastor, by the way. Everyone, to care for somebody. But there's some of us, like myself, we have the big P that I'm the pastor, right? But all of us, all my cell leaders, by the way, are pastors, all right, in the function of a pastor. But some of us here, we are called into full-time ministry as a pastor with the big P. You understand this? All right. And some of you now, by now, you're really looking at the right column already. Huh? God give a celibacy. Do you know the meaning of celibacy? Being single. Do you know it's a call of God? Sometimes, all right? This is not all the time, thankfully. Sometimes, there's a gift of celibacy. Some people, God's given them the ability to remain single. Not that they don't have the desire to get married. Not that. They have a desire to get married. But because of the gift God has given to them, they remain celibate for the rest of their life. In fact, Apostle Paul says, I wish some of you could be like me. He was single. Why? So that they can serve God wholeheartedly without the distraction of a marriage. And that is a spiritual gift. All right? So don't shortchange, you know, people by saying, you're not married yet. Don't do that. We celebrate whether you're married or whether you're single. We celebrate you. You understand this part here? You're not any less just because you're single. But if you're single and you desire to serve God in your singleness with no other distraction, I salute you. All right? In fact, I'm so proud of you when you do that. And that can only come when God empowers you to do that. Then there's a gift of martyrdom. Only given one time, that's all. One time. That's it. You only have it one time. And you're gone. And we read in church history, this has happened. People burn at the stake. There's a joy on their face. He shouted out to another fellow person, burned in another stake, all right, and said, I will see you in heaven, and they die on the stake. And that's a gift of martyrdom. Right? God empowers us at the right time that we may do the work of God. Then there is the gift of missionary. Again, don't get this wrong. Don't have the gift of missionary, no need to go on short-term mission trip. Right? Pastor Kelvin will be very upset with me if I say that, right? Everyone is supposed to go on short-term mission trip. But there's some of us who will be called to be a missionary, and God will equip you to do that. And I believe that the gift of missionary will be on John, Joyce, and Catherine. And thank God, you know, it is so, you know, coincidental, but no such a coincidental, that today we will commission three missionaries. And then I talk about spiritual gifts. Right? And then, Pastor also got voluntary poverty. You mean, what about all those teaching about being blessed by God and being prosperous? By the way, having more money does not necessarily show the blessings of God. Can I repeat that? Having more money does not mean that you have a greater blessings of God. In fact, there are people who voluntarily give up things in their life for the sake of others. And that's called the gift of voluntary poverty. By the way, all of us are called to live simple life. Right? Now, simple life, right, we don't have to be legalistic about it. All I'm saying is that you know in your heart how simple you are. Living simply so that others may simply live. That's the philosophy. It's not about going around now and what car you drive, what house you live. It's not about that. It's about whether you have the heart of simplicity in your life that others may simply live. That's the key behind it. And that takes the spiritual gift of God. In your own power, there's no way you can voluntarily be poor. Only God can equip you. And some has done that. In fact, many has done that. And so, you know, I want to also give you three books that you can read for yourself, because these three books deeply impacted my own life. Spiritual gifts can help the church grow, developing your prophetic gifting, and surprised by the voice of God. These three books have really, really helped me. Let me end by this story here. And this story is a story of a Scottish woman, an old woman. And she lived in the most impoverished conditions, meaning that she's really, really poor. And because she's so poor, her son immigrated to America from Scotland. And then he became a really, really successful businessman, but never found time to visit his mother at home. So one day, a friend of this older lady, he started talking to the old lady, you know, in this cottage that she was in. And then she asked this question, you know, doesn't your son ever send you money to help you with your needs? She inquired. The woman, shook her head sadly and said, No, he doesn't send me, you know, but he sent me nice letters though, and he sends me the most interesting pictures. Okay? And the listener was really annoyed, realizing that the son was actually very wealthy. But instead of speaking her mind, not sending something really bad about her son, he said, may I see the pictures that your son sent to you? And so the aged mother went to the drawer and took out this box, you know, full of what she thinks in her mind was pictures. All right, and she opened the notes, and to the surprise of the friend, they were all American bank notes with the pictures, all right, of the famous personalities in the banknote. In the mind of the Scottish mother, she thought it was nice pictures that, you know, the son had sent. Now, in that box, it was calculated that she had thousands in there, which the son had faithfully sent to her. And do you know that many of us are like this Scottish woman? We have such wealth, spiritual wealth in us, that we didn't realize. We think we are poor. In fact, many of us, sad to say, live as if we are spiritually poor, when actually, in reality, we are spiritually prosperous and wealthy. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives in us. So, church, can I urge you, desire your spiritual gift to get you out of that spiritual poverty in your life. Because when you have spiritual gifts of God, God can then, through you, in the power of His Spirit, begin to build others through you as others build you, so that you can become spiritually wealthy. And this is my prayer for you, church. As I end this sermon here, I want you to ask this question. Are you uninformed? Are you ignorant about spiritual gifts? And if you are, I pray that by the end of this sermon, you are informed that you can be spiritually rich. And that's a promise God has given to us. The Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, someone will come alongside us and walk with me. That's the powerhouse. And so many Christians miss out on that. And I pray this morning, you will eagerly desire spiritual gift. So let me ask you this question in closing. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Could you bow your heads right now? Could you bow your heads and ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that you're saying to me this morning? What are you saying to me, Lord? Do I eagerly desire spiritual gifts? Do I eagerly desire the free gift God has given to me? Do I use the gift of the Spirit to help others grow, to build the body of Christ? And as you ask this question, I want to speak to those, you know, who may not be Christians here this morning. You maybe have been invited by someone. Maybe some of you have come to church because you have a need in your life. You recognize that. But I want to speak to those who are not Christians, but, you know, Pastor, what you say makes sense today, that I need this God in my life. Somebody has invited you to church maybe for a number of times now. You have never committed your life to God. Or some of you may have backslided away from God. And it's not by chance that you're here right now. God has brought you back. Come home, the Lord says. So if there's someone here who's not a Christian, and today you say, Pastor, I want to be a Christian. I want this Holy Spirit in my life. Or maybe a backslider, you say, Pastor, I want to come back to God. If that's you, at the count of three, I want you to put up your hand so that I can see your hand and pray for you. Don't leave this place without an encounter with God. It'd be quite sad. You know, you go back to the same thing again. Never see any change. So if that's you, at the count of three, put up your hand. I'm going to pray for you. All right? No one looking around except some of the leaders. At the count of three, one, two. Let me start with those ground floor first, three. Anyone? Anyone would say in your heart that you want, you know, this God in your life? Is there anyone here? Anyone? Just put up your hand down here first. Anyone? How about upstairs? Is there anyone? Is there anyone? And I trust that if not, then you are all a believer. And therefore, this is a challenge for each of us here, that God may have spoken to your heart, and I believe God has. And you eagerly desire for God to do something powerful in your life. And I want to encourage you to come forward, to just receive a prayer from someone. We can lay hands on you, as we've done this every weekend. We lay hands on somebody, and just by faith, to say, God, will you fill this person? So this is the first call. Later on, I'm going to make a call on healing. But this is a call for anyone who needs the filling of the Holy Spirit so that the spiritual gifts can work powerfully through you. All right? And if that's you, I want you to come forward to be prayed for, to receive that. And I sense, you know, God is going to anoint you in a powerful way, in ways that will surprise you because you eagerly desire. So don't be afraid. Don't be shy to come forward because we are family here. We want to help one another. The best thing we can do for you is to pray for you. Let's stand right now. We'll sing this song. So don't wait. If that's you, God has sort of prompted in your heart to say, God, I want to move more powerfully, God, in the gift of the Holy Spirit. You come forward. We want to pray for you. They'll ask God to do a miracle in your life. Amen? All right, this is not a call for healing yet, but it's a call for anyone who want to receive that into your heart right now. All right, let's sing this song together. We get our leaders just line, come to the front, and then we're going to pray for you. Can you do that? All right.